Well, I am thankful that you're here and thankful for where we live and grateful for how good our God is. And we would be grateful if we were under, you remember way back last Monday when they were said we were going to get 24 inches of snow. You remember that? Yeah. And I think that sometimes when we look back, we're remembering maybe it was a forecast, and maybe I jokingly said, we tell our kids, oh, when I was a kid, this happened. We may be telling them some things that they talked about happening, and they didn't actually happen. But so what we can do if you're a young person in here and you have kids one of these days when God brings family to you, then you'll say, I tell you, back when I was a teenager, they forecast that we were going to get 30 inches of snow. Now, we didn't get it, but they forecasted that we were going to get 30 inches of snow. But it's good to be here, and we do want to be sensitive to other people because there's a lot of devastation out and about, and we want to make sure that we try to pray, give some prayer help to those folks, but we are grateful for you being here today. Here in your bulletin, it says, He is worthy, and that's our theme, our emphasis for the year, and I want to preach one aspect of that about Him being worthy, because He is worthy of all that we give, all that we do, all that we look into, that every time we look into something else, I should say, we find more ways that He's worthy. And so I'd like to preach from a passage I preach through a lot, and it's one of my favorite passages. It's Romans chapter 12. We'll look at the first couple of verses that will be very familiar when you find your place there. But we're looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we'll go further in there as well. But as you find your place in Romans chapter 12, I did hear this story about this fella named Bubba. You know, a lot of folks you grew up with in West Virginia, they had that name, but Bubba was from West Virginia. He'd never been anywhere. He'd seen pictures from Hawaii when different folks would go there. He said, well, I'm going to go. And so he saved up money and went down there. And he had a great time. And he got back and he told his mama all about it. And she said, wow, what'd you do? Oh, I did this, we did this. Well, he said, how did it all happen? She said, tell me from the beginning. And he says, it was wonderful, mama. He said, I got off the plane and this really beautiful girl, she came and put this thing over my neck and gave me a kiss on the cheek. And said, it's just wonderful. She said, aloha from Hawaii. And I said, Bubba from West Virginia. And said, they gave me all of the tours. They get all this beautiful stuff. And he said, it's just wonderful. He said that this big old hotel resort type thing I stayed at, they gave me a gift to remember. Has a logo of Hawaii on it. Gave me a gift to remember. And as I came back home, and it is a special contraption. It keeps hot stuff hot and cold stuff cold as a thermos, what they gave him. And she said, wow, that's interesting. He said, I've never heard of such a thing. And he said, yeah, I got it right here. And she said, well, you got in. He said, I got vegetable soup and sweet tea. So, Bubba didn't learn much, but he did make it. Well, I want to preach about He is worthy, as your bulletins say, and we're reminded He is worthy. But I want to take a turn and say, remind you that He's worthy of my sacrifice. Because that's what the Bible is going to tell us to do here in this passage. If you're at Romans chapter 12, it says, Wherefore I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Bible college teacher would say, when you see a therefore in a verse, you need to see what that therefore is. Therefore, well, if you look up to the end of verse, or at the end of chapter number 11, in verse number 36, for it says, for of him and through him and in him, or and to him rather, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You're on the heels of that verse, and he says, I beseech you therefore. Because of those promises and those truths that were given in the verses prior to, I beseech you therefore the sacrifice that we're supposed to be made. And so I want to preach this morning about He is worthy of our sacrifice. We know what it's like to dedicate a new building. We dedicated this auditorium. It had been built in the 70s, but the Lord allowed us to remodel everything, and you remember all of that, and the men worked hard, and the companies that came in, and so we dedicated this building, just like they did in 1975 when they first built it. We rededicated and honored Preacher Lashley at the Lashley Auditorium. We dedicated it for a purpose. Well, we've been to other building dedications where you said, okay, this building is set apart for that. Well, the scripture here indicates that we are supposed to be sacrificing ourselves for the Lord. We are supposed to be dedicating ourselves to Him for a certain purpose. The Bible tells us in another spot that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we ought to glorify God, our body and our spirits, which are God's. This body that we live in, sometimes we say that I get to just choose what goes on in this, and I get to determine that. Truly, the Bible says if you're a Christian, you are bought with a price. You are the Lord's. What goes on in your body, by your body, and around your body should be determined by that book that you're holding in your lap, and it should determine what you do, because I am not my own, the Bible says. I'm bought with the price, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I should be living my life according to the way that He wants me to. And then in this passage of Scripture, we are reminded that we are supposed to give our bodies a sacrifice. Now, the readers in this, as it would have been given originally, would have been very familiar with the sacrificial system. It would not have been far before that, but what they were sacrificing bulls and goats and lambs, and they would have been sacrificing those. And so that word picture that's given there would have been very, very familiar to them when the apostle said to them, I beseech you that you give your bodies a living sacrifice. Difference between that living and the dead sacrifice that they would have put would not have been a hard distance to navigate for that person. Okay, I know what it is to have a dead sacrifice. That's sacrifice for sins or for whatever else in the acts that the priest did. Now the scriptures are telling me I'm supposed to be a living sacrifice. So as we look at that and we ask ourselves, what is a sacrifice? Well, there's a couple things that you can realize in just an introduction. A sacrifice is dedicated to the recipient. A sacrifice is given to whatever you do. If you sacrifice something now, maybe somebody says, I'm going to sacrifice this one article. I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to give it over there. You're sacrificing it to the recipient. In this case, it's God. In that day, back in the sacrifice, it would have been supposed to be without blemish because that's the animals that they chose for the sacrifice. They didn't get the sick one. They didn't get the one that had the limp. They didn't get the one that had the problems. They got the one that was whole and complete. It was not to be any blemish. But then also, the sacrifice didn't have any say in the matter. You didn't negotiate with the sheep and say, well, if you don't mind, that's what we're going to do with you. And have the shepherds talking to him, say, well, if you don't have any other options, we've got this one, we're going to sacrifice you over here. The sacrifice didn't have any say in the matter. And so this is why, under this new circumstance that's given here, we get to see that God says that I want you to offer yourself a living sacrifice. We are beseeched, we're begging you, because we're this living sacrifice. I want us to see a few things here while we're together this morning. First of all, I want you to see that the scripture reminds us to sacrifice. I beseech you. I beg you. We are reminded to be sacrificing ourselves. And we all need that in other areas of our lives. That's why I love our couples retreat that we have. People tell me, so Pastor, I'm doing well. I said, I understand. That's good. But I challenge everybody, if you can, to go, because it reminds us maybe of some things that we already know. And so in this case, we are beseeched or begged to sacrifice ourselves. And undoubtedly, you've had times in your life when something spurred you on to do something or jogged your memory or reminded you to do this, that, or the other. Sometimes we'll do something with the assistance of a reminder. All of us have phones, and so if nothing else, you put a reminder on your phone to tell you to do this. We've been using them for years and years. They've changed over the years, but we've all had reminders to do something, and that something we're doing is getting up, and those reminders are called alarm clocks. You remember those things that people used to pitch across the room? Now that you use your phone, you don't want to do that because you don't want to break it. You'll need it later in the day. But we are reminded of things. So we know what it's like to be reminded. Well, that's what the scriptures are here doing. I'm begging you and reminding you that you need to sacrifice. And there's a reason why we're sacrificing ourselves to the Lord. Again, because He's worthy. I was listening to a radio preacher just on my travel sometime a while back. And he was encouraging me to walk with God That's why we come to church. One of the reasons we come as well, to remind us to live for the Lord and get in the book and serve the Lord and worship Him together. And we understand that we are reminded again and again, it's God's plan through those reminders that we have those spiritual checklists. Okay, I need to get back into what I'm supposed to be doing. Sacrifice. Is there anything in my life that I could say I'm sacrificing for the Lord? In this state, Tennessee, some bus workers, they were out visiting their Sunday school classes and trying to get folks to come to Sunday school, and they'd met this little family, little 9-year-old, I believe the age was, little boy had been introduced to the bus workers, Sunday school teachers, and invited them to come tomorrow on the bus, and they did. And that little boy plus his little brother came, and he sat in the auditorium for some reason instead of going to children's church. And his recollection later was four grumpy old men came with these wooden plates. Not our ushers, of course, no. And he came down, well, they passed it through. He didn't know, he didn't have anything to do, but he didn't have anything to put in it, but he'd seen other people putting money. And so as it passed and went back further in the auditorium, he couldn't stand it anymore. He went back and he grabbed the coattail of one of those ushers and he asked him for the plate back. And he still didn't have any money, but he sat on the carpet and he literally stood in there because he thought, well, I don't have anything else to give. I want to give me. And I thought how, as they say, out of the mouths of babes, how fitting that is, because Scripture says that we are supposed to give ourselves to the Lord. And I'm thinking about what the Scripture here says, the apostle begging, beseeching you to give your bodies a living sacrifice, and we need reminded. And there's a reason why we need reminded. I'll get to that in just a little bit, but the reason is that we've got so many other things pulling us the other direction. Our world in which we live says you deserve to make the choices for you. Nobody gets to tell you what you should be doing. You should be making your decisions. Don't let anybody else direct you another way. But we need to remind it that He's worthy to sacrifice myself. But not only that, the Bible says to give ourselves a living sacrifice, we need reminded that He's worthy to repeatedly sacrifice. Not only do we need reminded, but we need to remember that it's a repeated action. Why? Because He's a living sacrifice. We are supposed to be a living sacrifice. One old preacher put it like this: there's a problem with these living sacrifices. They always keep crawling down off the altar. And that's true. Those sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament, when they truly took the animals and they sacrificed them for what the Old Testament dictated they needed to do, those animals didn't give any fight back. But we, on the other hand, we'll get to a service, or we'll get to a time in our Bible, or we'll get to some renewal time, we'll get to a revival meeting, or we'll get to some difficult time in our life when we say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm all yours. I'm tired of living for me. I want to live for you. And we mean it with all of our heart, and we are sincere, and we are sacrificing ourselves to the Lord. But here's what happens every time: life. And then we get a little further away from that sacrificial time. We get a little away from that difficulty that we had. And then things start getting easier again, and we forget, and we start living for us. I've talked to so many people and been one myself that have dedicated themselves to some spiritual task, but then as time went away, they slipped back into spiritual mediocrity, just being mediocre. I told you I'd tell you this, but why do we find ourselves in need of repeating this process again and again and again? Why do we need to? Well, because we're this living sacrifice and we've got all these other things, but here's why. The old trinity of evil: the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a reason why I must repeatedly remind myself that He's worthy of me sacrificing myself for Him. There's a reason why I must do that, because the world, the flesh, and the devil are all trying to get me off the altar of living for God. Maybe there was truly an altar at the front where you bowed your head and your body and your life and you said, Lord, I want to be your, I am yours. I want to live for you. Maybe it was at a youth meeting somewhere when you were a teenager and you said, Lord, I want to give my whole life to you. And you meant it, but the world, the flesh and the devil has made you forget that spiritual decision that you made, and that makes you something. That makes you normal and a living person. And that's where God says that we are supposed to offer ourselves this living sacrifice. We face every trial and obstacle in our lives. And if we're not careful, those trials and those obstacles, or on the other side of it, those blessings and good things and easygoing, all of those things try to pull us away from that spiritual mindset that says, I will live for the Lord. You think this is not the issue or the tactic that the devil used? Look at that Bible that's in your lap and you can make yourself a decision. I'm going to read this Bible tomorrow. I'm going to get up 10, 15, 20 minutes early and I'm going to read it, or I'm going to read it late when I get back, whatever. I'm going to read this, and you watch. If something like this doesn't happen, you oversleep, or you have some issue come up, or some problem at work kept you late, or then you start reading, you're so sleepy, you can't even keep your eyes open, whatever it is, you have a headache, something will happen, or 10 other different things will keep you from getting in that book. How does that happen? Well, because I told you, the world, the flesh, and the devil is trying to keep us away from ourselves, from us sacrificing ourselves to the Lord. You announce to the church that there's going to be a revival meeting on a certain night, and it seems like everything at your work schedule, everything at your house, everything comes and piles itself on you to say, I'm going, and at the end, oh, I can't go. It's always fighting us. I went to revival sometime back. It was in the later part of the week, as I recall, and I tell you, the closer I got to that 7 o'clock when it started, the more things started happening. This and this, and somebody called, and something was gone wrong, and something needed taken care of, and this was there. And eventually, I did end up going, but I was tired, and I was grumpy, and I was all those other things. You say, did you get out of much out of that service? Don't ask me that. I don't remember, but I do know that everything was working against me going. How do you think that works? Or why do you think that works? Because the devil is very disinterested or very interested in tripping you up whenever we try to sacrifice ourselves to do something for the good Lord. But we need to be reminded repeatedly that he's worthy. Number one, we need to be reminded. Number two, we need to be repeatedly reminded. But then number three, let me give you this one. We need to remember that the goal of us sacrificing ourselves is found in verses 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to show you here in verse number 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present yourselves. Verse number 2, don't be conformed to the world. Verse number 3, that the grace given unto me to every man is among you, not to think of himself more highly. Verse number 4 is, for because we have all these members in one body and all the members have not the same office, so we being many, in verse number 5, are in Christ, and every members one of another. So we're working together for this. That's why we had to sacrifice ourselves present ourselves as a living sacrifice so we could get invested and working in the way. Verse number 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Verse 7, ministry, at the end of verse 7, teaching. Verse number 8, exhorting and giving and ruling and mercy, all of these things. The reason I'm bringing us to that spot is there's a rationale for why God says present your bodies a living sacrifice, and the rationale or the reason behind that is because there's a work to be done. We're not all going to do the same work. Everybody's not going to be the teacher. Everybody's not going to be the the administration person. Everybody's not going to be the same ruler, but every one of us have a work to be done. And so we are realizing that he's worthy of my sacrifice, and he wants me to remind myself again and again. But remember that the sacrifice is made for a purpose. Now, we all know what a model is. We many of us have done model cars. I remember doing this little Mustang one time my brother had, or a model, and we were putting together. But I'd always get impatient. You get that testes or testers, that glue, whatever, that tube, and you put it on there. You're trying to glue this little gear shift down in there, and then I got a little glue on my hand, and I can't get it off there. And then you try to take it out with the other hand, and then it's stuck to this one. And then you try to take these little tweezers of mom's and trying to get it stuck down in there. And then I wouldn't wait for it to glue long enough. I wanted to hurry up and paint it. We had this old Dodge Charger one time, bright orange. You can imagine, we were trying to put the stickers on it. It sounds good in theory, but then I get impatient and I want to paint this, or try to put that little, you get those brushes and paint the engine block, and then you're supposed to wait and let it fully dry, but you don't want to do that. You want to start sticking the glue and sticking the valve pan covers on it, and then your glue that's on your hand starts eating away at the blue paint that's on the engine. And patience was not something I was very good at back then. But we all know what a model is. And so sometimes people say, I want to be a model Christian. I understand what they mean, but truly a model, as some would say, is just a miniature representative of the real article. So in that case, we don't want to be a model. We want to be a real, live, working Christian. So you don't want to be that article, because that model is something that isn't real. It's just a replica of the real thing. You need to be the real thing. And what God says here in this chapter of Romans 12 is that you need to present yourself to Him, because there's work to be done. There's preaching, there's teaching, there's ministering, there's exhorting, there's ruling, there's giving, there's mercy, there's exhortation, there's all of these things. And I want you to do them, and as it says at the end of verse number 8, with cheerfulness. And that's going to be from a spirit-filled individual. You're going to have to yield yourself to Him. You're going to have to sacrifice yourself to Him and be full of the Holy Spirit, so that you can live in this way that God wants us to live. God doesn't want us to become cool and super detailed and this fake model that never gets bothered by anybody. If there's one thing I see in Christians' lives that keeps us from helping people, it's that we're afraid that we might not be good enough. We're wanting to let our lives get a little bit more clean and neat and straight before we really start helping anybody. Can I just tell you the best advice? And that is to start helping people in the name of Jesus right where you are. Because if you wait till everything is right, my friend, the devil will convince you that you're never going to be all the way right. And you're going to be on your deathbed saying, I wish I'd just done something back then. One preacher put it like this: the greatest ability in the Christian life is availability. Just avail yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm here. And what we need to be doing is seeing ourselves filled with the Spirit, sacrificing ourselves, yielding our lives to the Lord, so that in verse number 6, 7, and 8, He can use us in whatever gift He wants to give us to be used of Him. We want to present ourselves to Him so that we can be filled with the Spirit, so that we can live out our spiritual gifts. God wants so much more for us than we realize. I read a story of a dad that he had a daughter, and she was at a store of some sort, but wanted this little fake set of pearl necklaces, and it was only a couple bucks, and he was trying to teach her, said, no, you can't do that till you save the money. She only had just a little bit, as much less than what it cost, but she started saving. She started getting everything she could, and she saved, and she bought that little necklace for a couple dollars, and she loved it. She wore it all the time, except when she goes swimming or when she took a bath, because her mom said turn her neck green, and so she'd take it off then, but boy, she loved it. And every night their dad would read to her and talk to her. And she'd say, Dad, I love you. And he asked her one time, he said, would you love me enough to give me your necklace? He said, oh, Daddy, I'll give you anything else, but not that. And he went on. And the next night asked about the same thing. And she said, I would give you this and I'd give you this. And she started naming things. Well, one night she finally broke down about it. And she was sad. And she said, Daddy, I want to give you this. And she took off her little necklace. And he said, he received it in his hand, but he said, honey, I don't want it. But what he did do is we went to the room and got this really pretty box, and it had a real pearl necklace in it. She wasn't old enough to have it yet, but it had been in their family. And he said, honey, I want you to keep what you your favorite necklace. But Mom and I have this for you. When you get older, we're going to keep it for you. But it's a real one. Yours is not real, but this one is. We're going to keep it for you. This is yours as well. And I thought about that, and I was reading that story and trying to think about how I could illustrate. The Lord wants us to have this real, genuine faith, not a cheap copy or knockoff. My pastor, he was on a cruise or somewhere. He bought this pen, and Mont Blanc is a very expensive pen. You know, I have one. The church got me. And it had the emblem on there, bought it for $10. And so David Gibbs, our friend, was there one time, and Pastor Norris said, "Here, you want to use my pen?" And he used it, and he said, "Oh, it's my Mont Blanc pen." He said, "I got it for $10. And Brother Gibbs was very calm. He says, "Brother Norris, this is not a Mont Blanc pen." It was a cheap imitation. God doesn't want us to have a cheap imitation of anything, of necklaces or a pen. But he wants us to have a real, genuine, sincere Christian life. And that's what he's telling us here in chapter 12, verse number 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But it's not just that you can be a model that people look at and say, "Wow, look at that Christian. Wow, they went to church on Snowmageddon Day." God doesn't want you to be this model Christian that's up there so that people will ooh and ah over you. God wants us to be a sacrificed, living sacrifice, walking with Him, living for Him, dedicating ourselves to Him so that we would be working in that chapter, verse number 6, 7, and 8, so we'd be involved, engaged, and living for Him in this world that needs to see a genuine Christian. So this morning, as your bulletin says and our graphics in different places say, He is worthy. But He is worthy for you and I to sacrifice ourselves for Him. If you live this sacrificial life that you yield yourself to the Lord, you will never get to the end of life and say, "Whew, I don't know why I wasted myself." But as pastor, I have counseled with lots of people at the end of their lives, and they said, "Pastor, I wish I'd given more to the Lord." What they were saying is, I wish I'd lived that living sacrifice life. But I've yet to talk to the good, solid Christian saint of God at the end to say, "I gave too much to the Lord. I gave too much of my time to Him. I gave too much of my efforts to Him. I gave too much of my talents to Him." I've never met that person yet. But I've met lots of people who says, "I should have given more of my time to the Lord. I should have done more work for that class or that ministry or that shelter or whatever it is." And here we all are. We have opportunity to do something about it. And God tells us in His Word, the apostle says, "I beg you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." God doesn't need us dead. I need a dead sacrifice. He needs ones to live and go and minister and help, be a blessing. Make sure that living sacrifice is holy, acceptable unto God. Just give it wholly, completely, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That sacrifice is what God wants us to live in. And this morning, I just felt led that we ought to remind ourselves that He is worthy. He is worthy for me to live this sacrificial life. And if you are not doing it, my friend, I challenge you to give yourself to Him afresh and anew. You may be saying, "I've got so much of my life, and I've got dreams and aspirations, and I've got plans." Your plans and your aspirations and my desires are nothing compared to what the Lord would have for me. And He may want me on a different path than I want, but it is time for some of us to throw our plans away because he's worthy. I can guarantee you this, at the end of your life, you will never regret giving yourself wholly acceptable unto him because it's our reasonable service. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy of me sacrificing myself to you. Lord, it's not like an investment that I have to look at to say, I don't know if this is a worthy place for me to deposit my funds. Lord, you are worthy. Thou art worthy, as the song says. And Lord, I pray that I might sacrifice myself to you and live in that way. Folks, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As they find something to play through, they will. Somebody said it like this, that somebody wrapped up all of themselves makes a very small package. And when we have the desires to do what I want and go where I want to go and do and partake of and live the way that I want to, that's a pretty small goal. But instead, if I could say that I want to live for him, I want to sacrifice myself for him. I want to be that living sacrifice. I want to live that sacrificial life for whatever God has for me. As I go to school, as I go to work, as I go throughout my day, I'm his. As I look at my finances, as I look at my talents, as I look at my friendships, it's all his. I want to live that life that's sacrificed to him. Are you living that way? Or has it been a long time since you even thought about what does God want in my life? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, clean and given to him, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Father, bless us now is our prayer. If you're able to, for these few moments, would you stand together with us? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. It's time for us as Christians to stop playing around. There's some young men in this room that I believe should yield themselves a living sacrifice to the Lord. Quit living for you and start living for him. There are some families that should do the same. Some ladies that should do exactly the same. I challenge you, my friend, come join these at the altar. You want to sacrifice yourself. Say, Lord, I want to live for you. I'm tired of living for me. I want to live for you. As they continue to play, one last question. On this wintry storm weekend, you've come into church, but maybe you're not sure that you're saved. Maybe you've been to church for years, or maybe this is the first time. But you've come in here and there's a nagging in your heart, in your life, that you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. My friend, you don't go to heaven by giving and going to church and even mistreating yourself. You don't go to heaven by any of those ways. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to live, to die, to be buried, rise again for you. He paid for your sin debt. Your sins were what were keeping you from heaven in the first place. And he died for you. If you've not received him as your Savior, my friend, please, you need to today. If you need somebody to help you, to pray with you, to guide you, Brother Daniel's right down here in the front. He'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Would you step out and come? They'll play through this next verse. You come. If there's some other spiritual need you have, you want to do business with the Lord, then you do that. Amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. They've been playing "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." I'm going to have Brother Daniel come and lead us in that. That's our going home song. And I trust that that'll be our heart's prayer as well, that we have decided to follow Jesus. And as we sing a verse or so of that, then after that we'll be dismissed. Amy and I will be back in the lobby. If there's anything we can do for you to help out, we certainly would. We'll be back there. But let's sing this song and mean it if we can. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. See you later. You are dismissed. And just in case there's any question in your minds, we will have church tonight right at 6:30. Church tonight right at 6:30. We'll look forward to seeing you tonight if you're able to be out here this evening. Be here tonight. We'd love to have you back in the evening service tonight. We'll look forward to seeing you later.